Rick Morrissey joins us on Sports Byline USA, sports columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times, and he has a book out that's very timely, and I hope you'll check it out. It's called Ozzie's School of Management, Lessons from the Dugout, the Clubhouse, and the Doghouse. And, of course, Ozzie is Ozzie Guillen, and Guillen got suspended for 5 games because he made some comments about Cuban dictator Fidel Castro. And Ozzie himself once said, "I'm the Charlie Sheen of baseball without the drugs and a prostitute." And Rick certainly has almost predicted the problems that he would have, because you write in the book, Rick, a person or group will feel insulted by something Guillen says. The mayor of Miami, marine biologist, Cuban-American, somebody. What is it about his personality and his makeup that makes him that way, Rick?
Well, that's a very good question. I mean, I think there's a neediness there, a certain neediness, and you know, he likes attention. Most of the time, there's a reason for it. And most of the time when he says something that people might deem crazy, it's because he's trying to take attention away from something, whether his team's playing poorly, there's pressure on his players, some player is playing poorly. So that's sort of his MO, you know, where he'll say something and say, put the pressure on me, put the attention on me. I'll take it. I can take it. I got strong shoulders. But this one, there's no rhyme or reason to it, and so you're kind of scratching your head why he would say, "I love Fidel Castro." Now, if you ask me, I don't believe he loves Fidel Castro. I believe what he meant to say was, "Isn't it amazing? Can you believe this guy has stayed in power by being so cruel and so barbaric, and yet he's not dead yet?" I think that's what he meant. But it really doesn't matter what he meant. It's what he said, and it's indefensible.
If your analysis of him is correct, and I think it probably is, then there is also a reason for it. And it usually comes up from where somebody, their upbringing or how they were raised or the things they had to deal with when they were young. Does any of that factor in, Rick?
I don't know. You know, he was yappy when he came over here to the United States when he was 17. And you know, there was a confidence. I mean, he told, you know, one of the first workouts he had with in rookie ball, he basically told the other shortstops to go to another position because it was going to be his job. And so, you know, I think maybe that drive coming from a very poor area of Venezuela, but the kind of person that would say that to somebody else, I guess, is the kind of person who would, you know, say whatever he thinks and thinks he's right about it and doesn't care what people think. Most of the time, he doesn't care what people think. This time, he really does. And I think he was contrite during his press conference this week.
I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. Any difference between Ozzie the player and Ozzie the manager then?
Well, the difference is the pulpit. You know, there wasn't as much a reason to go to Ozzie when he was a player. I mean, that was before my time, but he wasn't quoted like this. I mean, the media meets with him every single day, twice a day, before and after games during a season. And for somebody like Ozzie, you know, I mean, it's not that he loves it, but it is. There's something about, the kid in the candy store. I mean, he loves being in front of a group of people talking and giving his opinion. So, you know, he probably was that way as a player, but, you know, nobody went seeking his opinion the way they do now.
I think you know as well as I do, I think the old adage applies here. If you're going to talk the talk, you better be able to walk the walk. And I think that when Ozzie was a player, because he was an outstanding player, then I think he could get away with doing anything and not have any ramifications from it. But when you become a manager, you all of a sudden become the face of the organization to some degree. And even as he has said, the team is the face of the community. And I don't think that he was prepared for that type of responsibility. Is that a fair statement for me to make?
Yeah, I think so. But you have to know better. I mean, you can't go into Miami, you know, the Cuban American capital of the United States, and say that. I mean, it's just crazy. It's crazy beyond anything he might normally say. But I think he got so used to, I mean, he was the face here. He was the star of the team when he was manager. He was, you know, he's like the mayor of Chicago, which is amazing because the Cubs are the dominant team here. But he was so, he had so many things to say, and people either loved him or hate him, but they hated him, but they couldn't look away. They had to listen to him. So I think, you know, you get a little full of yourself, or get beyond yourself, or over your skis, or far field, however you want to put it. And I think that's maybe what happened here in this instance.
I'm not trying to defend him for the Miami situation. I was kind of alluding to the whole situation of being somebody who is the focal point as the manager. I mean, in Chicago, he did an awful lot of things. In the promotional material, I love this line. In the history of baseball, there have been few men in the game as volatile, as polarizing, as vulgar, as gifted, or as entertaining as the former manager of the White Sox and the new manager of the Marlins. So he was that way when he was in Chicago as well. And so that's why I asked the question about whether he was prepared and understood the responsibilities of being a manager, not just what happened in Miami.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely. He understands it. But it didn't stop, you know, it didn't stop him over the years from saying things. And he rarely apologizes for anything. I mean, he believes in what he says. This time, you know, he realizes he blew it. And I think he knows. I haven't talked to him, but I'm sure he knows he's going to have to get out into the community and try to mend some fences. I'm not sure that he's going to be able to do it with some people in the Cuban-American community. I think, you know, a lot of those people are not going to forget this.
You know, it's kind of interesting. I know Jerry Reinsdorf, as you do. I've had him on the program many times, and we've had many philosophical discussions about a lot of things. But also Kenny Williams, too, is a guy that I got to know fairly well. I'm just wondering how those two guys, you know, rationalize some of the things that he has done over the years when he was in Chicago.
With Reinsdorf, a lot of it was, you know, that's Ozzie being Ozzie. I mean, he called him the Jackie Mason of baseball. With Kenny, it was a lot more difficult, and they butted heads the last 2 years. I mean, there was a lot of ugliness, and you know, Kenny, even though he played Major League Baseball, I think he has more of a attitude of a football player, the football player he was at Stanford, where you sort of, you know, keep things close to the vest, you don't say a whole lot. You know, and here's Ozzy, you know, just flying off the handle on everything. So I think that for a while it was okay. Kenny could laugh about it, but then it wasn't funny after a while, and it really, really wore on him. And it had to end here last year. It had taken its toll on everybody, and everybody needed to move on.
And another element of this, of course, is the players. How do they feel about their manager?
Which ones?
I'm just talking about players, so we can only look toward Chicago for an answer to this, I think.
In general, yeah. They like playing for him. I mean, generally, they like playing for him because he's incredibly loyal to his players. And he has really one rule, and it's play the game right and play hard. And if you do that, I'll back you 100%. If you don't, I'm gonna go to the media and throw you under the bus. So they don't like that. They don't like that part of it, but you know, that's part of the deal. Part of the deal with Ozzie, that he is going to be critical of you publicly if you don't try hard. So I think most of them did like playing for him, and you know, it's fun. And he keeps, like I said, he keeps takes the pressure off you because he's constantly starting brush fires that take attention away from, you know, maybe slumping players.
And the fans are pretty much blue collar, so I would assume that he kind of appeals to their nature.
I would say past tense for a lot of people. He did here, and I think a number of people got tired of it, and I should have thrown fans in there too, who were ready to move on. Now, I think there's always going to be a place for Ozzie in the hearts of a lot of White Sox fans. They may not be feeling it now because they were just frustrated by the bickering that went on at the end. But this is a big personality, and I think he's really good for the game. I think people around the country really enjoy him. This latest thing, there's nothing funny about it. But you know what? When you sign up for Ozzie Guillen, you sign up for all of it, and the good, and the good manager, the fun stuff, and then once in a while, this bad stuff where he says incredibly stupid things.
Rick Morrissey is with us on Sports Byline. We're talking about his book, and I hope you'll check it out because I think it'll give you great insight into Ozzie Guillen, not only the person, but also the manager as well. The name of this book is called Ozzie's School of Management, Lessons from the Dugout, the Clubhouse, and the Doghouse. And we'll continue talking about it as we move across the country and around the world. We've got you on Sports Byline.